The following program is produced by the Living Church of God.
Weddings are joyous occasions, and marriage can be one of the most fulfilling and joyous experiences in the entire world. But marriage can also present challenging problems. And if the problems are not solved, marriage can be most painful. There are proven strategies to encourage a more loving relationship. How can you improve your marriage? Stay tuned.
Tomorrow's World. The Living Church of God presents Dr. Roderick C. Meredith, Richard Ames, bringing you the good news of your future in tomorrow's world. This week, Richard Ames reveals strategies for improving your marriage. And now, Richard Ames.
Warm greetings to you all. The family is the foundation for any society, and a stable, successful marriage contributes to a strong, stable civilization. When a man and woman make the commitment to become husband and wife, there is often a happy gathering to celebrate the establishment of the new family. A wedding is a joyous occasion, often accompanied with music, flowers, family, and friends. Marriage is one of the most important events in a person's life. And a formal public commitment begins a lifetime together. The bride and groom may even say the traditional words such as, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, until death do us part. If you're married, how are you doing with your commitment? And how are marriages doing nationally? In spite of some relative decline in weddings, marriage is still very popular. The National Center for Health Statistics reported that in 1998, there were over 2.25 million marriages in the United States. The Australian Bureau of Statistics reported in 1999 an increase in marriages to 114,300, but this figure was 2,900 below the number registered back in 1989. The Bureau also compared the marriage rate for various countries. The crude marriage rate for the United States in 1996 was 8.8 per 1,000 population, 6.0 in Australia, 5.5 for both Canada and the United Kingdom. How permanent are these marriages? The Australian Bureau reported, quote, overall, 46% of marriages are likely to end in divorce, end of quote. In the United States, the Census Bureau reports that in 1998, there was a total of 110.6 million married adults, or 56% of the adult population, who were living with their spouse. And there were 19.4 million adults, quote, currently divorced, representing 9.8% of this population, end of quote. The U.S. Census Bureau also reported the following, quote, during 1997, 2.4 million marriages and 1.2 million divorces took place in the United States. That translates into 6,500 marriages and 3,200 divorces a day, end of quote. My friends, there's a cause for every effect. We need to apply the positive principles in our marriages and families. If our nations and our civilizations are to prosper or even survive, notice this appraisal of the World Health Organization, quote, social mores are also undergoing profound changes with a move towards shorter marriages and more divorces in many countries, leading to family breakdowns which have repercussions for individuals and for social services that may be called on to provide help for children and single parents, end of quote. Yes, social mores are undergoing profound changes. In many societies, biblical values are being thrown out the window. But you and I can make a difference in our own community and in our own family. The Bible reveals the causes as well as the solutions for our problems. It reveals our purpose and our destiny. As Dr. Meredith has pointed out in his sermons and programs, marriage is a training ground for eternity. If you were to attend one of our church's marriage ceremonies, you would hear the minister say something like this: "There can be no more joyous ceremony than this we now enter. Marriage is a natural union, but a divine institution ordained of God. It was established not by man, but by the eternal God at creation, prior to the foundation of this world, and derives its authority from the divine laws of God, immutable and unchangeable." God's purpose is to create a spiritual family. That inspiring truth should motivate us to improve our family and our marital relationships. When we acknowledge God in our marriage, when we apply the principles and strategy of successful family living, we can enrich, improve, or even save our marriage. But the excitement, the anticipation, and good intentions at the wedding often turn into disappointment, frustration, and conflict. Human nature gets in the way. On today's program, we'll discuss three biblical strategies to saving your marriage and improving your marriage. And we'll also be offering you a free booklet to help you and your loved ones build a joyous marriage. Marriage should be exciting and rewarding, but marriage also tests us. It will reveal our personal weaknesses. One of the most glaring weaknesses is that of selfishness. Carnal human nature thrives on selfishness. We could present a whole program on the subject. In his book, How to Live 365 Days a Year, Dr. John A. Schindler writes, quote, "Egocentricity and selfishness are the childhood arrests that most commonly make a mess of marriage." There are several ways to overcome selfishness. The most important is total repentance and conversion. We discussed that on previous programs. Acknowledging God in your life is vital to positive change. You can read God's promise in Proverbs 3, verses 4 through 5. Now, let's discuss three major principles for improving your marriage. Let's understand it may not be easy, but the effort can lead to great rewards and a loving relationship. The first strategy to improving your marriage is give 100% to your mate. The old saying, marriage is a 50-50 proposition, is totally wrong. Our upscale, modern, enlightened professionals may say, independence is priority. We'll intellectually agree to work together, but I'll still reserve my personal escape route in case things don't work out right. One needs to ask, what is the framework for our relationship? Is it mutual convenience? Or is it a biblically based relationship that will grow in depth and in character for the rest of our lives? What does the Bible say? Let's understand that these principles are not temporary platitudes, but they're spiritual laws with lasting consequences. The right cause produces a lasting beneficial effect. Turn in your Bibles to Acts 20 and verse 35. Most Bible students are acquainted with this verse. It's foundational to happy relationships and the character that we need for all eternity. Acts 20 and verse 35. The Apostle Paul stated, "And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that he said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" Or as the Moffat translation states, "It's happier to give than to get." One of the greatest gifts you can give is your time. Some years ago, when I was very active in sports, I tended to shortchange my wife in spending time together. I still remember the time when I determined to give my time to her in some special activity that would please her. She wanted to go canoeing. That was not my favorite activity. But we went canoeing on an East Texas lake on a Sunday afternoon, surrounded by pine trees, blue skies, waterfowl, and peace. What I considered a sacrifice of my time led to an improved relationship. My wife enjoyed the activity and appreciated my effort. As Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. True love is giving without expecting anything in return. But when two people give 100% each, you have a strong bond, a strong overlap that is going to guarantee flexibility and the ability to cope with crisis and problems. See what happens when both are giving 100%? There's an overlap. But the 50-50 proposition is a built-in weak link in your relationship. God's way is the way of giving. That's the mature approach to marriage. And Bible also instructs husbands and wives to give to one another in sexuality. In 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 2, Gentile converts to Christianity were living in the sexually immoral city of Corinth. The Apostle Paul instructed them here in 1 Corinthians the 7th chapter and verse 2. Because of sexual immorality, let each man have his own wife, and let each woman have her own husband. Let the husband render to his wife the affection due her, and likewise the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Do not deprive one another except with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. Are you willing to follow this instruction? Do you express affection to your husband or wife? Simple hugs and kisses when you leave for work and when you return are important. I once read a report from a German insurance company that concluded men who kiss their wives every day are less prone to accidents and are generally more successful financially than men who do not kiss their wives every day. So I made sure to kiss my wife every morning before leaving for work. One day I forgot and backed my car into a tree. Needless to say, I make sure I kiss her every morning. Another research study, in this case a 13-year study of 168 married couples, reported in the Reader's Digest of November 2000, affirms the importance of affection. Aviva Patz writes in her article, Will Your Marriage Last?, on page 115, quote, what surprised the researcher most was that loss of love and affection, rather than escalating conflict, was the most salient predictor of distress, end of quote. Let's understand, we must strive to solve conflicts, but affection is extremely important. Make a commitment to give more than you have in the past. Be determined to find ways to give to your spouse. Then you won't be so frustrated, and God will bless you in your relationship. As Jesus stated, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Strategy number one to improve your marriage is give 100% to your mate. Strategy number two is also extremely important, but first I'd like to offer you our free booklet, Build a Joyous Marriage. This booklet will give you more strategies and principles than we've had time to cover on this program. These are tested principles. They're time-tested principles because they're based on the Creator's instruction book, the Bible. Here are some of the headings. Build a God-centered marriage. Commitment and trust. Marriage means giving. Romance is vital. This booklet will help you improve your marriage. It'll also help family and friends who may be preparing for their upcoming wedding. It's free of charge and there's no obligation. So pick up the telephone right now and request your free copy of Build a Joyous Marriage. You can also order on our website at www.tomorrowsworld.org.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insights on today's important issues. No cost, no obligation to you. Call today.
In the first part of our program, we discussed the importance of marriage and the first of three strategies to improve and enrich your marriage. Strategy number one was give 100% to your mate. Commenting on the problem of selfishness, Dr. John A. Schindler wrote, quote, the only person capable of true affection is the person who can forget himself and his own immediate interest, while he places the welfare and interest of someone else foremost. When both husband and wife can do that, they will have no domestic nor sexual trouble, end of quote. How many husbands and wives actually practice that principle? and how many Christian husbands and wives actually practice that principle. That leads us to the second important key. Strategy number two is honor and respect your mate. Do you really value your spouse? Do you respect him or her as a human being made in the image of God with a great potential of eventually being an immortalized, glorified child of God for all eternity? Those who are genuinely converted Christians, God certainly looks on as his begotten children now, and everyone else as his potential children. Perhaps you don't respect some of your spouse's habits, but do you see the good qualities? Perhaps you've devalued, downgraded, or disrespected your spouse, but God would have you respect your spouse's potential as his future child. Is that what the Bible teaches? Turn in your Bible to Philippians 2 and verse 3. Listen to God's instruction regarding our relationship with others. Philippians 2, verse 3. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. How do you demonstrate honor and respect to your husband or wife? There are many such ways, as giving special gifts, listening carefully, expressing thanks, and using common courtesy in your words and the tone of your voice. But perhaps the most important key to understand how God values every human being and particularly your mate, regardless of your opinion of him or her. We need to understand our differences and still maintain respect. My wife has artistic talents, and with my engineering background, I've caught myself criticizing or judging my wife's different approach to a project. We must be careful not to be super critical. The Apostle James wrote in James 4, verse 11, "Do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother," or in this case a husband or wife, "and judges his brother, speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you to judge another?" Be careful not to be a self-appointed judge, as difficult as that may be. Strive to accept your mate as he or she is. Emphasize the positive. Look for the best. Identify the best qualities in your mate and express appreciation for those qualities. Constant criticism leads to arguments and conflicts. Even our communication patterns become predictable. Don't play the blame game. I've learned that when my wife has a criticism, whether it's a helpful one or not so helpful one, I simply say, "Thank you." Turn to Proverbs 15 and verse 1. Here's a very important biblical principle in preventing big arguments. Proverbs 15 and verse 1. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Supposing your spouse says, "You're a lazy, good-for-nothing, inconsiderate clod." Could you simply say, "Thank you"? Now, we should be willing to listen to constructive criticism because we need to change. We need to understand our weaknesses and our shortcomings. We need to examine ourselves and see ways of changing and improving. It's taking me many years, but my wife will tell you that I'm not as impatient as I was years ago. I'm still working on changing, of course. I've had to ask God for the power and the love to make those changes. We need help, and God promises us that help. As the Apostle Paul wrote in Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." How patient are you with your family? Patience is a way of expressing love. As it states in the love chapter, 1 Corinthians the 13th chapter, verse 4, "Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends." Read that chapter. Pray that God will give you the ability to live by those qualities and grow in those qualities. Instead of criticizing, strive to identify good qualities in your mate. And at the same time, understand that husbands and wives may have different needs and different approaches. There are many such differences. But listen to what John Gray wrote in his book, Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus. Quote, men argue for the right to be free, while women argue for the right to be upset. Men want space, while women want understanding. In his section on resolving conflicts through understanding, Gray writes, quote, by supporting her need to be heard, she could support his need to be free, end of quote. You can improve your marriage by listening, by understanding, and by giving space to one another. You can improve your marriage by honoring and respecting your spouse. Turn in your Bible to 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter, in verse 7. Here God gives vital instructions to husbands. 1 Peter 3, verse 7. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together in the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. God instructs husbands to honor their wife. Keep in mind that you are heirs together of the grace of life. Notice also the key I mentioned earlier. I stated that perhaps the most important key is to understand how God values every human being, and particularly your mate, regardless of your opinion of him or her. Every human being on earth has the potential of being born into the divine family of God, as glorified, immortal children of God. The Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 18, I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Always be conscious of your mate's awesome potential. Strategy number 2 for improving your marriage is honor and respect your spouse. The third key is extremely important, and we'll conclude with that principle in a minute. But first, I'd like to offer you our free inspiring booklet, Build a Joyous Marriage. This booklet can give help in a new marriage as well as a long-established one. So pick up the telephone right now and request your free copy of Build a Joyous Marriage.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insights on today's important issues. No cost, no obligation to you. Call today.
Some marriages seem hopeless, but don't give up. If you're having problems in your relationship, ask God for help. As it tells us in Ephesians 3:20, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. We must do our part. Apply these principles and God will bless you in your relationship as you acknowledge Him. To summarize, strategy number 1 for improving your marriage is give 100% to your mate. Strategy number 2 is honor and respect your mate. Now, our third strategy for enriching, improving, or even saving your marriage is set a positive example. I personally know of a case where a Christian husband set an excellent example for his non-Christian wife. He had a giving attitude toward her. He demonstrated love and respect for her. She later became a Christian after about 10 years of his faithfulness. His example made a difference. And I know another case in which the wife loved her unconverted husband. Because of her long-time example of love, cooperation, and service, her husband was converted after 10 or 11 years of marriage. The Apostle Peter gave instructions for Christians to set a good example for their non-Christian mates. Let's read that in 1 Peter 3 and verse 1. Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. When we individually keep our marriage vows, when we keep our commitment faithfully, we can have a positive influence on our spouse. As the Apostle Peter pointed out, the unconverted mate may be won over without a word. That is, without trying to persuade or argue someone against his will. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, "You are the light of the world. How we live, what we say and do, sends a message to others. Are you really serving, helping, and cooperating to build a joyous marriage? Are you working to provide a positive family atmosphere?" Let's understand that setting a positive example applies even if both husband and wife are supposed to be converted. Remember, you cannot change another person against his or her will, but you can change yourself. We all have God-given responsibilities in our marriage and family. God tells husbands in Ephesians 5 and verse 25, "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her." Are you as a husband fulfilling your responsibility? Some husbands and wives place great emphasis on judging their mate's conduct to excuse their own lack of faithful service. Remember, we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, as it tells us in Romans 14:10. Be sure you're fulfilling your own God-given responsibility as a husband or wife. Titus, the second chapter in verse 4, instructs the older women to teach and admonish the young women to love their husbands and to love their children. Are you wives and mothers fulfilling your God-given responsibility? If you are, you'll be a positive example to your mate. God will bless your efforts if you acknowledge him in your marriage and if you ask Jesus Christ to live his life in you. With God's help, strive to be the best husband or the best wife you can be. Strategy number 3 for improving your marriage is set a positive example. You can improve your marriage, you can enrich your marriage, or you can even save your marriage, particularly with God's help and these biblical principles. There are several other significant principles for which we don't have time on this program. So be sure to request our free literature to help you in your study of the Bible and pray for God's guidance and blessings. We pray that your marriage will improve. Love is the greatest force in the world. As Jesus said in John 15:13, "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." On next week's program, we'll continue this series and answer the question, is adultery okay? You won't want to miss it. On tomorrow's World, we'll continue to explore Christian living topics, Bible prophecy, and the fundamental questions of life. Be sure to listen to Dr. Meredith's challenging and inspirational insights into the Bible. You'll want to keep up with these vital programs, so be sure to join us again next week right here at this same time.
The informative booklet offered on this program is yours absolutely free if you call 1-800-934-5579 or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. Be sure to visit our webpage at www.tomorrowsworld.org. The preceding program was produced by the Living Church of God.